Telecast.
We're in Toledo for this week's show, as over 1,000 TV executives from Spain and around the world are gathered for the 7th edition of Connector Fiction and Entertainment. And on this week's show, I'm chatting with Miguel Martin, MD of Banijay Iberia's Zeppelin production label. Plus, I meet with Argentinian producer-distributor Luciano Molina from Playmakers Entertainment. And I catch up with Beatriz Cavanillas, one of the senior team who organises Connector Fiction and Entertainment. It's all coming up on this week's telecast. So my first guest on this week's Connector Fiction and Entertainment special is Bea Cavanillas. Is that okay? Was my pronunciation okay, Bea?
That was perfect.
Oh, lovely to see you here. First of all, congratulations on an event. It's my first time at the event. For those who aren't here, but maybe you've heard about it, can you explain a little bit about the event, who's here, and what the event is looking to achieve, essentially?
Of course. Well, Connector Fiction has been being held for the past 7 years, and it's a co-production event. It started as a fully co-production event. Now it has evolved a little bit, but the idea is an event that you can find people coming from Latin America and Europe, turned out in Spain, because we're based in Spain, different cities along the way, but now we are based in Toledo, in Castilla-La Mancha. And the idea is to get everyone here involved in the pre-production, financing, or development of content. For the first 4 years, we were only focused on scripted content, but since last year, we opened that a little bit for entertainment formats too, because we think that, you know, we're talking about content and we should look into everything. So the idea is to have, you know, executives, of course, coming from platforms and broadcasters and distributors. But it's also very, very important for us to have production companies as well as scriptwriters and showrunners. That is something that is really different about us, because we are, we think that without them, you don't have anything else. So that the idea is to have everyone involved in this process before it's finished, to have them here and make connections in a really relaxed and casual way.
Has it always been in Toledo, or was it in other locations up to this point?
No, we've been holding the event always in Spain, but we have been shifting cities. The first 2 years happened in Santiago de Compostela, back in the north of Spain. Then we went to Pamplona in Navarra. And as of last year, we are hosting the event here in Castilla-La Mancha.
Well, it's an incredible city for anybody who hasn't been to Toledo.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like a town, but it is a city, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's like stepping back into medieval Spain. It's
absolutely.
It's really an amazing location. But all the facilities I've seen, you know, brand new congress centres. The organisation has also been fantastic, I would like to say. So congratulations to you and all the team.
Thank you.
Who's behind it then? Who's behind Connector Fiction in terms of production company or sponsors? How's it funded?
The event is organised by Inside Content, which is the company that I work in. It's a company that unites a lot of people that has been working for a long time in the audiovisual industry. We do events, but we don't come from the event organization part. We have been working in the audiovisual industry. And I think that that is really something that is important, because we have been attendees of other markets. And we have thought, okay, if I went to a market, I would like to have this and that, and maybe make it smaller, and maybe have these kind of people. So we are very, very focused on the delegates that are attending and trying to be useful for them. So that is what Inside Content is. But then the event is also funded by Castilla-La Mancha government this year. And of course, we also are funded by accreditations and sponsors. So that's the bigger picture.
Give us a sense of scale then. How many people are here and where they're from?
This year, actually, we just released our numbers for this edition, and we had a record broken, and we passed the barrier of having here 1,000 people. Yes, they're coming from more than 40 countries. So there is a big Spanish presence, of course. We are very near from Madrid. Madrid is, of course, a very important center for the audiovisual industry. We have been having also a great presence coming from the States, from Mexico and Poland, because we have focus countries every year, and this year we were focusing on them. But we also have very important presence coming from Germany, France, and Argentina.
So tell us about the makeup of the event. You mentioned it's co-production market, but there's other aspects, aren't there? There's other events like awards going on and pitching sessions. Give us a bit of a taster about, you know, what delegates are experiencing here.
Well, the idea is to have everyone come to an event that is small compared to other big markets, such as, I don't know, MIPCOM or NAPI or something like that. The idea is to have it small because we think that it's really useful. You know, it's easy to make connections in an organic way. But the most important part of these 3 days of activity would be the networking. We have open spaces for everyone to meet. We don't have much stands because we don't want, you know, people to get hidden behind them. So they're in the open and it's easy to contact everyone. And of course, we do have sessions with panels and workshops that are always made thinking of what people want to listen to. We try to have practical approaches to certain topics. For example, this year we had someone talking about audio fiction in terms of what it means as an IP. We also have people talking about marketing in terms of for production companies. We always want to hear about what's happening everywhere. So we had, for example, a panel yesterday on the role of international distributors turning into co-producers, you know, entering before the finished product. So the idea is to have always panels that are interested for everyone. It's sometimes difficult, you know, because we want to have something that is appealing to scriptwriters, but also to production companies and also to distributors. So it's a funny mix in that case. And we also have pitching sessions. The pitching sessions have been held since the first year. And the idea was to highlight, you know, projects that were in a development stage and that were looking, you know, for partners or for distributors or platforms, and to give them a space to shine. We have got different call for projects during the time, but the idea is to have call for projects as well for script writers as for production companies. Now, the idea is to make everyone shine and have their moment, you know, where they can show what they've been working on and hopefully find a partner. So that's our main goal in that case. And of course, we do have the networking activities, you know, the cocktails and things like that. Everyone knows in the industry that it's really useful. So yeah, that's a bit part of it. But I would say that the most important thing would be the networking part. You know, we have got a lot of panels, but the thing is that what we think is people just want to meet each other and talk. And it's not like another big market where you have your schedule fully booked when you get to the event. Most of the people, you know, they set up their meetings, but they leave open slots because you know that you're going to meet over here people and then you're going to, you know, go for a coffee or just sit down and chat for a while. So that's the idea.
And one of the things I thought was very useful was the fact that a lot of the panels are obviously in Spanish, but there's also interpreter headphones that you can have, so everybody's included and everybody knows exactly what's being discussed.
The idea since the first year was to have an event where people that were coming from Europe or North America or Canada could feel comfortable, as well as people coming from Latin America or from Spain. So the idea is, okay, language is such an important thing to make you comfortable and feel like you belong a bit in a place. So every year, the catalog is done in both languages, and panels and workshops are all the time, you know, having simultaneous translation. Sometimes you have super interesting people talking and they don't feel comfortable talking in English, for example. And then that's not a problem for us. So the main focus was, let's make everyone comfortable and feel like they're at home. So let's make this double, you know.
One of the things I've noticed as well is how friendly and actually how buzzy it is. There is a real buzz on the market. I mean, we've had to come outside to record this because it's so loud. People are so passionate about the project.
There are a lot of Spanish people and everyone knows that we are noisy, yes.
But there's, you know, there's genuinely a very positive buzz and a nice energy about the market. So that's something that's really struck me.
It's really funny, but don't tell anyone about this. But once we are in the office, we always say that Conecta, it's not a market, but it's a big wedding. Because, you know, you get everyone together. It's like everyone's happy to see them, get each other. So it's like you'll see a lot of hugs on the first day. And, hey, how have you been? So it's kind of a friendly event. And it's, of course, it's about business. But it's we work very hard on having this, you know, atmosphere that is casual. And then it's, you know, comfortable for everyone. That's very important for us because I think that makes a difference.
Congratulations on, you know, breaking the record for the number of attendees.
Thanks so much.
And such a supermarket. So what can you tell us about next year then?
Well, on the first day of the event, we confirmed that we are coming back to Toledo next year. So we are very happy about this. Probably will be around the same dates. This is a date that we like very much. Of course, we are having a very, very, very difficult event calendar in terms of industry events.
I think this must be the busiest June ever for events that are going on in Europe. And yes, it's quite extraordinary.
Yes, I know. But of course, they have different focus. And I know that there are, of course, they have Sunny Side of the Dock, and then you have NSE, and then you have the Budapest events. I think that everyone has their different approach. So I think there's space for all of us. But at the same time, of course, you've got people that go around the mall, and I can see some tiring faces over here. But I mean, it's very difficult in terms of when you find where to make the right choice of when to have it during the year. And it's very important. But I think that the end of June is a very nice time to come down to Spain. And we like it very much. And I think that we found our spot. During the pandemic, indeed, we did shift the dates and we went back to September. But it was difficult because September, of course, was loaded too. But after the pandemic, we went back to these times because we like it very much, really. I think it's great.
Yeah, me too. Well, again, congratulations. I hope to be back next year.
Of course. We will be so happy to have you here.
All right, Bea, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
So my next guest on this week's show is Miguel Martin, Managing Director of Zeppelin, which is part of Banerjee. Nice to see you, Miguel. How are you?
Nice to see you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a bit warm. It's not as warm as it was yesterday, but it's still about over 100 degrees, I think,
For sure.
It's the hottest market I've been to in many ways, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. So tell me about you, first of all, your background. You're Managing Director of Zeppelin, as I mentioned, part of the Banerjee Group, but you've got a very long background in TV and producing in the States, etc. Tell us a little bit about your journey, your career journey so far.
I started my career as a director many, many, many years ago. Almost 30 years ago. And I used to do at the beginning the first reality here in Spain, Personality Realities. And
sorry, what was that called? The show?
And the name of the show, for example, Pocholo. This is a Spanish word. This is a very famous guy here in Spain, very crazy. And we follow the life of this guy during one summer. And this is a very, very funny show. At the beginning, when I think this is the first personality reality show filmed in Spain. And from this point, I started shooting scripted production as the director for many years. And then I decided to move to US, to Miami specifically. And I've been in Miami almost eight years. Doing an unscripted show for Fox, NBC, Viacom mostly. And then I come back 4 years ago to Spain, start working in Zeppelin as a production executive, and for example, doing LOL for Prime Video. And then 1 year and a half ago, I have the opportunity to be the managing director of Zeppelin, and I take it, and I'm very happy with this position.
Good. Well, fantastic. It's a production business with a long and storied history. Tell us a little bit about Zeppelin then, you know, one of the original unscripted production companies. So tell us about what Zeppelin has created in the past and a little bit about its history.
Zeppelin in Spain is no versatile for Big Brother. We are one of the first countries after Holland who produced Big Brother here in Spain more than 20 years ago. And it was a hit here in Spain. It changed the television in not only in Spain, in the world, but specifically in Spain, changed everything. So we did the show for many, many years. Actually, we come back with Big Brother after a small break of 2 years. We come back this autumn, on September. And Zeppelin, at the beginning, there are a few producer companies in Spain because we don't have producer companies. We have only public television this time. Then the private companies arrived in Spain. The private television arrived, this kind of linear television. So we start with production companies. And Zeppelin was one of the first. So we did everything. I mean, talent shows, realities, a scripted series, everything for more than 30 years. So we are one of the oldest company and the biggest company here in Spain.
Okay, and where are you based? Are you in Madrid?
Yes, we're in Madrid.
How many people are working in Zeppelin?
And it depends on the moment. For example, in September, we are 100 of people. I don't know exactly the numbers because it changes. It depends on the production that we have, but probably 300 in September, more or less, or more.
And how many seasons of Big Brother have you produced at Zeppelin over the years?
Here? Season 30, more or less. 30, because usually we have a couple at the beginning, not, but then we change and we have two different seasons every year, one with Anonymous and then one with VIP. And so more than 30 seasons.
Lots of spin-off shows.
Yes, well, a lot of spin-off, a lot of.
The unscripted market we've covered over the last few weeks on telecast, certainly in the UK, and we're getting the idea of it's a challenging market in various different territories. Are you finding that in Spain as well?
It's very challenging. The industry are changing very, very fast in the last year, you know, with the streamers, when the streamer appears, with not only everything is changing because the entertainment is changing. At the beginning, we only have the radio and the television, the cinema. Now we have the platform, we have Facebook, we have internet in any kind of way, YouTube, Twitch, everything. So for the audience, there is a lot of options. And so it's very challenging to keep the attention of the audience right now.
And Zeppelin is known for other formats as well. And one of those is The Bridge, which was developed by Zeppelin and is sold internationally. Tell us about how The Bridge was devised and where you can see that around the world right now.
We did Zeppelin first of all for a Spanish broadcaster called Movistar. We did a couple of seasons. Then it was sold to France and then to Channel 4. Okay, and then after this, the show grows and grows. And in the last year, we have 6 different adaptations in many markets. I mean, Brazil, we have Great Britain, we have in Australia, we have in Hungary.
Does that make it one of Spain's most successful format exports?
Yes.
Okay, so we're here at Connector Fiction. It's a very vibrant market. Seems to me, speaking to a lot of people, to be the most successful edition so far. Are you a regular at this market?
I've been here first time last year. Yeah, so this is my second time. I think this is a very, very good opportunity for the Spanish market to meet all together, to get people like you from other countries paying attention in our local productions. I think with the time, Spain tried to be more international. Our production wants to live outside our frontiers. So this is a great opportunity to put all these interests in contact.
Yeah, well, we're seeing representatives from lots of different countries here. We've seen Poland this year is the country of honor, but we've also seen delegations from South America, Ukrainian producers, and, you know, there's a really wide range, and you can now say it is an international market.
Yes, because as I said, I think the Spanish television, it's very interesting for internationally. I mean, our series or our unscripted format travels very, very, very well. The focus on the Spanish production industry are now better than never.
And this is the first year, I believe, that the event has also incorporated entertainment as well as factual. Yes. So presumably that's why that you're here and make a concerted effort to be here and do lots of meetings.
That's true. That's true. I think Connector is growing, and the best way to grow it's incorporated and scripted because it's half of the pie. It's a great idea, and I think it worked perfectly.
So we've talked about other formats that you've developed over the years and been involved in personally on a production basis. You're launching a new format here at Connector Fiction. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we launched on 14th of July, format developed for HBO Max called Time Zone. This is an original idea developed here in Spain and with the help of our colleague in Netherlands. fully developed the idea. It's a really, really, really new format with a lot of exciting episodes. We are really happy with this new format. It's very ambitious, very ambitious. The look and feel is very, very cinematographic. If you see the trailer, you have a doubt. This is a fiction? This is an script? What is this exactly? So this is exactly what we want when we develop the show, to find a good mixture between fiction and entertainment. But it's a reality. We're real people feeling with real feelings and with real emotions.
It looks to me like it's based upon a video game almost.
Yeah. And it looks like a movie and feels like a video game.
And it's a competition show, is it? Talk us through the show. How many episodes have you produced for HBO Max, and how does the mechanics work of the format?
We do 8 episodes. The length, it's flexible, but around 50 minutes per episode. And the mechanical is very simple. We have like a game master. Okay, it's a master of time. It's like Cristinini, is a very famous caster here in Spain. Not only in Spain, also in Latam. The master of time have a place called Time City. This Time City is not in the real world. It's in the digital world, okay? So we have 10 contestants who plays in a race against the time. So we have time zone. What is a time zone? It's a circle. And when one contestant changes it inside one of these time zones, time stops. When he or she is outside, time starts running. Okay, so they have to keep as much time as possible, because if they lose all the time, they will be eliminated. Okay, so it's very simple. It's like a dystopic, futuristic, cyberpunk video game with a lot of VFX, which is not very common in the unscripted, with a enormous, huge location, 200,000 square meters. I know you are from Great Britain, but this is a lot of surface. And so they have to play in the whole locations with a lot of different environment.
Will you be taking this out to the international market at MIPCOM this year?
The format right now, it's to HBO, but for sure, as a company, we will be in MIPCON showing this film, trying to show to the other companies this film, because we are completely sure that we will do a lot of noise with this format.
All right. Well, good luck with it.
And thank you very much.
Tell me what else you're working on as a business right now, what you're in production with.
We are right now producing the next season of Big Brother from Spain. We started the pre-production a couple of weeks ago. We are very focusing in this show because it's very, very big show. It's one of the biggest shows you can do in the Spanish television. So we put all of our efforts in this show, and we are developing another reality competition games, and we are developing another shows. Hopefully soon we can tell more about these shows.
And finally, we touched on it a little bit earlier. You talked about the new commercial broadcasters coming into the market relatively recently compared to some other territories. And obviously, they're very focused on advertising and advertising around great shows. And it seems to me that if you've got premium brands, then that's a good place to be. But how do you look at the market right now when it comes to commercial broadcasters and producers? Are you seeing a bit of a slowdown in general across the industry in terms of commissioning?
It depends. For example, for us with Big Brother, we are okay. We are okay because this is a very strong format, so it's very good for advertisement. So we don't have a problem with this, for example. But the television is changing. As we talk before, keep the attention of the audience, it's very, very challenging because we have a lot of things to do. You see the television with your mobile phone all the time. It's very difficult to keep the attention of the audience more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You move to another thing. So it's very challenging, and the industry have to adapt. But that we do. We tell stories, and for sure we will adapt to the changes. Right now we have the platform. The platform changing. They are looking the how they can be profitable. So I'm very, very optimistic about the health of the industry, specifically here in Spain, which is the market that I have more information, but we are very, 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 we're good.
Yeah, there certainly seems to be a buzz in the air and lots of meetings going on, a lot of energy in the marketplace, which is really great to see. Mm-hmm. Miguel, thank you very much for your time. I know you're really busy. And tonight you're revealing the trailer, aren't you?
Trailer, it's a long trailer. It's 10 minute length. And you can see a little taste of the show.
All right. Well, good luck with Time Zone. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
So my next guest at this year's Connector Fiction event here in Toledo is Luciano Molina from Playmakers. How are you, Luciano?
Hello, Justin. Fine. Really excited here in the event. This is an Ibero-American event. So for us, we are in Argentina. We got our studio there, and then we got our commercial offices in Miami. So for us, this Ibero-American market is really important.
All right, so you're part of an Argentinian delegation.
Yes.
So tell us about Playmakers, because you're not only a producer in Argentina and you're producing for some of the biggest media brands out there, but also you're a distribution business as well. So first of all, tell us about the production side of the business.
Okay, great. I'm a producer. My background, I was a general producer for a big network before opening my own company. Basically, in my company, we launched in 2015 in Argentina, producing original shows, mostly docu-series. Our series get a lot of interest, mainly in Miami, in the U.S. Hispanic region. So I traveled there for NatP event in 2016, offering our services as producers. So, yeah, and we receive a lot of interest from Discovery, A&E networks. So we start working together with them, producing mostly commissioned docuseries. And after that, I realized that I want to keep IP and be owner of my own content, not working for others, and always selling ideas and don't keep anything of the revenue that my shows made. It's just only the production's fee. And I start offering to my clients to get a discount in the budget and keeping some IP. So instead of charging them with the whole production fee and everything, I said, can I keep that 10%, 20% and be owner of my own content and make a discount for you? And I start working with small networks. Like in Argentina, I work with La Nación, which is a local newspaper, another clients that let me keep IP. And then after doing those shows, docu-series show mostly, I start going to the markets, not only offering our services, also our finished content. And I find there's a lot of opportunities in acquisitions. I meet a lot of big clients, platforms, TV networks. Also, I distribute content for the airplanes, for LATAM Airlines. We already sold content to them. So I find that there's an interest business going on in distribution. So I open our third business unit with this distribution. We got Playmakers branded content. We're born as a brand content production agency, and then it's Playmakers Originals, and now it's distribution, which I'm in charge. I'm the owner of my company, 100% it belongs to me, and now distribution gets the 50% of our company revenue. So since 2016 to now, it's 2023, we participate in all the markets, mainly in MIP Cancun. We were in Budapest 2 weeks ago in NatP Miami, LA Screening, Rio Content, Ventana Sur in Argentina. So we try to go as much as we can with our budget. And all the time the acquisition teams ask me, do you have something in animation for kids? Do you have something in... So I turn around and start like seeking content and making distribution agreement with creators in Latin America, which are great. There's a great creators all around. And we represent them and offering their content. So we got a huge catalog, more than 5,000 hours of content in Spanish, English, Portuguese mainly. And we license our content to more than 20-25 countries. So
what a great story. I love to hear stories like that when producers are being entrepreneurial and say, you know, work for hire, let's look at the longer term rather than the short term gain, right?
Yes, I talk with a lot of producers here, and all of them, I think that they want to work for the big ones. They want to work for Netflix, they want to work for Amazon, which is great, but Disney, but all of these companies, they always keep the IP. They always make you sign a contract where you has to let your project go, which sometimes is good because you make a name as a creator. And it's, but I always advise them that if you create something, try to be the owner of what you create. And if you are the owner, you don't have to distribute your content. There's companies that do that, but you are in the long-term run. And that's why I try to achieve. That's why I'm trying to do. And all the projects that we are developing right now, we are developing for distribution, not for networks. So we are developing for our own catalog. So that's, I think that that's the way to go for the producer. That's my advice.
We're here in Toledo. It's my first time at Connecta Fiction. Is it your first time here?
It's my first time here in Connecta because we don't produce or distribute fiction. And this year, Connecta opened Connecta Fiction and Entertainment.
And so, entertainment, yeah.
So we are on the entertainment side. We want to, this Iber Series, which is the other, that's also fiction. So I think that's the first event that we produce entertainment or factual or documentary in Spanish in Europe. It's the first try. So we'll see. So far, so good. I think there's a lot of opportunities here. There's a lot of people around, acquisition, original, developing teams. So I think we will be back next year for sure.
You're very active, lots of markets. You're traveling an awful lot. Going back to the Argentinian market, what's the state of the market generally from a distribution perspective and also from a production perspective? Because we haven't really focused too much on Argentina as a territory on telecast for a little while. But bring us up today. What's the current landscape?
Argentina, we were known in the world for doing great movies. There's a lot of great directors. So if you ask me, the first thing that the acquisition teams try to look when they see Argentina potential, it's in movies, in films, in feature films mostly. That's where we got strong directors like Damián Cifrón, which is working in Hollywood. He makes great movies as Tiempo de Valiente, Relatos Salvajes. That's where the world sees us. But in television, there's a lot of great, not only shows, because it's difficult to license shows, Argentinian shows, because of our language. It's so different than the accent. The Argentina accent is different than the Central America accent. It's different than the Spanish accent. But we got great formats. What I think is that we are great creators, great ideas in Argentina. And I think that the next steps for us as a country is to sell the formats more than the finished content. And I think there's a huge opportunity over there. I talk with a lot of channels that are creating big shows, originals, and they want to format those shows. One is Telefe, which is part of Viacom. They are doing great things over there. From my point of view, so I work in unscripted, factual, I think there's a huge opportunity, not only in movies, in formats for us in the next years.
You said that you sell into the Hispanic market in the US. Can you give me a sense of how important that market is for you from a percentage perspective? Because obviously you're here in Spain, you're traveling all over the world, but you said you had an office in Miami. So clearly it's very important.
Yes, for us, Miami is the most important place to sell. It's our most important commercial point. I believe it's because all the networks got their Latin American headquarters over there. So when they have to decide whether to produce something or to acquire something, the decision makers are in Miami. It's because first 50, 60 million of Spanish speakers lives in Miami, which made a great market because all of them are an audience with a lot of potential and it's growing really fast. And United States as a country has budgets really wide compared to Latin American countries. And also our content, which is so universal and works on U.S. Hispanic audience. So, for example, we got a show about, it's called What Women Eat. It's a travelogue show where a ballerina, after retiring and has a strict nutrition, decides to travel around Mexico and taste all the food she never tasted before. And it's working really good in the U.S. We got a lot of Mexican shows, Mexican and U.S. Hispanic. The widest community of Spanish speaker in the U.S. belongs for Mexico. So that's why our content, mostly the content produced in Mexico, works really good in the U.S. Hispanic region. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned it earlier on. There's about 50 or 60 million in the U.S., which is bigger than the U.K. population.
Which is bigger than Argentina population. We are 40 million, so 40-something. So if you say 50, 60 million just U.S. Hispanic, it's a region which is, it's bigger than our country, for example. So that's why we decide. And also NatPe happens there. And I believe that's the opening door to the U.S. market, which is our next step, to sell our content to U.S. properly in English. So make our content again, sell the format, or produce it again in English. So now we are producing in English and Spanish. 1 month ago, I was in China because we won an award given by a bank in Argentina, which is ICBC, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. They give an award for the best companies exporting in Argentina. So we won in the category of exporting services, and the award was a commercial mission in China. And when I was in China, Asia in our roadmap was, before this trip, was like meant to be in 5 years maybe or something, but this makes things go quicker or faster, sorry. I see there's a lot of potential of our animation content, for example, in China. There are huge interest of China to acquire animation content for kids, preschoolers, to teach them to speak in English. So we got in our catalog some contents for kids, and I see that there's a potential in China with producing content in English, edutainment content produced by Argentinian animation companies. So that's the things that you find when you go to different markets, that you met different buyers. I love this job. I love traveling. I love talking to the acquisition teams and trying to understand why they are acquiring one content or the other, because it's a way to know where the industry is going. So when I have to produce, I have to think about the conversations I had in order to know which is the best subject or theme to talk about.
Yeah, well, you're out here gathering business intelligence, which is what everybody is doing.
Exactly. So I got these two positions, which is selling content, distribution, and also producing. So I got this the two sides of the table.
And finally, talking about markets, there's a lot of talk in the industry right now about opposing or competing markets in Budapest, for example,
yes.
And we're going to have the same situation coming up in Miami.
You're talking about Content NatPe, yes.
Content Americas and NatPe.
It's a personal opinion. I believe that they have to have a conversation in order to make things better for the industry, because I was in NatPe Budapest, and 2 weeks after that, you got Content Budapest. Last year, I was in Content Americas because NatPe was in bankruptcy, but this year, they're going to make NatPe Global, and 1 week after or before or 2 weeks, they're going to make Content America. They are going to divide. The buyers are going to divide. So I think it's the only losers on these games are the companies, are the sellers and the buyers, because if there's one event, we can go all there and meet buyers and sellers. But if you divide that, everyone lost. So I think they have to have a conversation, is my opinion, and divide the market. Say, you keep Budapest, I keep Miami, or whatever they have to do, or make an event together. I don't know. I don't know about that business. I know about my business, but I'm talking with all the people and asking, are you going to Content or are you going to NatPe? To have some intelligence to make my decision, because for us, the distributors, is expensive to go to the markets.
Yeah, and it's unlikely that you're going to have to stay for 2 weeks in a city.
I don't. And it's expensive for us. From Argentina, it's more expensive than for others. So we have to pay the flight, the accommodation, We need to go and have all our meetings, so everything happening in 3-4 days at least. what I have to say about that, please, to the, both companies, have the conversation and make things easier for all the sellers and the buyers.
All right. Well, we'll see how that develops in January next year. Luciano, thank you so much for joining me. It's really interesting to hear about you, and congratulations on your growing business. I'm sure I'll see you at many markets in the future.
We will see each other for sure. Thank you, Justin, for the time and for make this interview. Thank you for your kindness.
Well, that's about it from sunny Toledo. Thanks a lot for listening to this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Telecast was edited by Ian Chambers and recorded in Toledo, Spain. On next week's show, we speak with Australian producer Chris Hilton from Tilt Media and Pavel Cherepin from Ukrainian production business United Heroes. Until then, stay safe.